can't have it now because they have come to seminary. And as soon as they complain, they have to turn it down completely. Excuse myself as a devotees because originally this meeting was scheduled on a much more smaller scale. It's just you think between me and some Polish devotees, but then they made it to a big Sankirtan meeting, which in one sense of course is appreciated because I maybe think it's maybe missing this festival a little bit. And anyway, maybe we get some nice visitors later on. I think Ravichandra Maharaj will come soon. Maybe it's good to know first, all the devotees here are Sankirtan devotees, more or less? More or less, full-time service. Yeah? Because it's maybe good to know. I would like to speak about something, first of all, more in a forum where devotees themselves can contribute, comment, share their experiences, which is basically the most enlivening thing on a Sankirtan meeting. And another thing is I would like to speak about more practical things. Because the Philosophical Foundation and this we can hear in every lecture. That's sometimes Sankirtan devotees have more of a practical part, problems they are experiencing in their daily service. Just in the case somebody is wondering why I am sitting here, I spend most of my time in a North European zone under the guidance of Hare Krishna Swami. Maybe we can also share some with the devotees some ecstatic experiences we had with having marathons for Srila Prabhupada. I joined like 71 and we had several very wonderful Sankirtan marathons for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, which carried some spirit which I think should never get lost. To speak about Sankirtan as such, it's of course not that easy if one wants to take it in a very specific way, because Sankirtan means it's practically the essence of Krishna consciousness. It means Krishna consciousness. So to go in details, one would have to go in the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness and have to speak about so many aspects, which I don't feel certainly qualified to do though. But since I spend most of my time in the street distributing books, so maybe we can share some experiences from the practical field of book distribution, which will automatically reveal also so many aspects of Krishna consciousness. Because it's difficult to separate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from book distribution. Anybody who is carefully reading Srila Prabhupada's books actually should automatically conclude by bringing them on the streets to the people one day. Srila Prabhupada is writing Bhagavad Gita. He even wrote these books for the armchair speculators. In other words, for people just collecting dry knowledge. But these books are meant to be applied as vigyan, as realized knowledge. And therefore the service of a Sankirtan devotee is such an ecstatic one because it brings the devotee right away from that somewhat artificial field of religious piety or strife after happiness and relief from material distress. It brings the devotee right away into the Sankirtan field where one has to learn very fast to depend on Krishna completely without any artificial or hidden motivations. In other words, nobody can pretend anything on Sankirtan, and that makes Sankirtan so ecstatic. Because there, our material conditioning, our material identities which greatly predominate still our lives. First of all, we don't think anymore, I am the big sense enjoyer. Or we don't think anymore, I am the big artist, or I'm the big musician. But we think maybe I'm the big Vedantist, or I'm the big devotee, you know. And we have so many designations we carry with us under the social pressure from outside, and we manifest so much charismatic behavior, partially under the fear that somebody may expose our weaknesses. But Sankirtana is such a wonderful service, it breaks through this. And there we are, completely helpless on the street. And then we cannot play some charismatic show or something like this. It's just not possible. We cannot come to the people with some wonderful tilak maybe and going, excuse me, I'm the learned devotee here and I want to inform you about love of Godhead. Probably, specifically in the Western countries, not so many people will respond to it in some respectful way. Who cares? They, our vana, ashrama, all these things, they go up in smoke because we are just standing there on the street, everybody of us, with a book in a hand, and people relate to us as we are Krishna conscious. Actually, the whole surrounding on the street depends on the consciousness of the devotee. Us, we are tested right away there in the middle of the whole presentation. So therefore it's such a challenge, because we cannot pretend anything anymore. It's me, the conditioned soul, the helpless fool, completely depending on Krishna's mercy. There everything is, Hare Krishna Swami wonderfully described yesterday. Everything depends, all this process of devotional service get activated and practiced right away there on the street. Externally maybe we may not be even very qualified. We may not be not of exact perfect Vaishnava behavior. So many faults are there because we have such a impious background. The Sankirtan brings the original, the essence of Krishna consciousness. This means a full surrender to Krishna. Sankirtan is very fast to get the realization that Krishna is not just in the pages of some book, but he is actually there. He is right away there with me on the street, and they see Krishna acting through the people. And therefore, actually, I know the oldest Sankirtanis. I was for some years traveling with Rohini Sutta Prabhu, which probably many of you know from his ecstatic Sankirtan meetings. So we had, of course, numberless ecstatic experiences. But the basic thing what makes one so happy on Sankirtan, because one gets faith on Sankirtan. Actually, Krishna exists. He must. Otherwise, I wouldn't survive the Sankirtan even 1 week. It's not possible to go out, to continue even the next week, without having already some sort of realization that Krishna is there. And Krishna responds to such a devotee, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, such a devotee is very, very dear to him. And he responds to him, speaks to him. He speaks to him through the karmis. He can say devotee. A devotee stands on the street, and sometimes maybe you get tired. I remember once I was getting tired. And people came to me and said, can you speak a little bit louder? I was saying, what a pastor coming, giving me instructions here. But then I realized, actually, yeah, he's right. I can hardly understand what myself I'm speaking about. Yeah? Yeah? Or you get moments where you are completely spaced out, and he stands there on a corner, completely tired, and suddenly a big fat guy comes in the back and slams you on the shoulder and goes, keep on going! And then he disappears again. You never see him again. Well, you must conclude that there was where he got this inspiration from. Yes. And I mean, there are so many stories from Sankirtan devotees know, everybody is experiencing daily, where you can see Krishna. And any Sankirtan is a perfect balance. One has to balance one consciousness. Therefore, that awareness, that Krishna conscious awareness, that I don't trust this material nature 1 second. And one never knows. One never knows what happens the next second. And that awareness, that full dependence of Krishna, that is the Sankirtan that we get trained up in. Yeah. And that awareness, whatever one carries on later on, one may even do a different service, but if that awareness is always there. Yeah. therefore sometimes the Sankirtan devotees may be blamed to be fanatics. But actually, if you see how horrible this material nature is, you cannot get fanatic enough to get out of it. Yeah? This is a quite illusory argument, fanatic. Yeah? Only somebody who feels very comfortable in this material world can say actually a Sankirtan devotee is fanatic. Of course, there is another thing, there is such a thing like fanatism, but this total awareness that material nature is always changeable, every minute, it's changing all the time, it's unpredictable, you never know what's going to happen. And that full dependence on Krishna. Therefore, Sankirtan is so wonderful because it can never be calculated, it can never be rationalized. It can never, you can never say, okay, this is a technique, I got the technique now. You know, and you know, we know what happens to an older Sankirtan devotee who gets into this sort of consciousness. You know, I know the street, I know the people, I know the town, you know, I know the Sankirtan van, I know the Sankirtan party, I know him, I know him, I know him. This is, you know, my Sankirtan leader, I know, he always eats too much sabji, and I know him, you know, and this jai. One becomes very shallow, very superficial. This is a danger which comes from our older Sankirtan devotees. Therefore, it's so wonderful to see new devotees going on. Actually, what happened to me is after some years, 12, 13 years, I got quite some physical problems. Sankirtan is a bodily wiping out activity. So it was difficult sometimes to keep up that, you know, that passion, quota, inspiration. It doesn't work anymore. We are getting a little bit older and the body is this. And, then and you know, so it's not simple to be number one anymore. And then the factual test comes, what are you going to do for the next 30 years? So there we saw on Sankirtan devotees going, getting in the heavy test, and then what? Then I'm not the hero anymore, I'm not the number one, social pressure is finished. Yeah, social pressure is coming, my results are finished, then what? So actually the only inspiration we can get, if we look around and we try to inspire the new ones. There is so much life coming from a new devotee. I remember this person has to be actually more blissful as to going out and doing being number one. To have some new devotee, to see him coming with his long hair and in a Sunday feast, stuffing himself full with halava, you know. And then you see something about him. Actually, it's our new Sankirtan man. I used to have this very nice times with Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj, who is also here now. He has to have in Germany a very wonderful Bhakta program, where he was in a very wonderful way preparing devotees going on Sankirtan. And I used to have a traveling Bhakta program, and then there was a heavy boys. Then there was a, you know, the elite party leveling that was the heavy boys. No eating, no sleeping, no eating. Like that, you know, this marathon boys. So we had such a structure and it was working very nicely. So I was always taking mandala from the Bhakta program. And it was the most pleasant times to see this, you know, this, you know, you come out, you know some verses Bhagavad Gita, but still there is so much idea what Sankirtan should be and this and that. And you see them the first day coming out and they just, you know, the hand is shaking and they sing. Everybody can distribute books, but not me. It doesn't work on me. It's not possible. And then you have to be around them, distribute around them in circles, you know. And then they see how the books go out and they get faith. Hey, actually. And then they distribute the first book. And then immediately they blow themselves up, you know. I did it! It works! And then nothing. The whole day finished. You know, the rest of the day empty. And then they just start to cry, you know. The next day they start, they didn't manage to five books. And then they blow themselves up, you know. So, and then they realize, I have a false ego. And this is to be controlled. Mm-hmm. Krishna is very heavy if one is acting on the false ego. So, in this way, Krishna is taking care. Krishna has a perfect plan for everybody how to become Krishna conscious. And he is saying, as you surrender to me, I reveal myself to you. And Sankirtan, oh, somebody wants to go out, that requires all the surrender from the first minute. And Krishna immediately takes interest. Ah, he takes it seriously. Well, then I take him also seriously. And there is a special bonus, a special credit for the new ones. Sometimes the old ones get amazed. I am the older devotee here, I am regulating my eating, I am strict, and I have such a hard time on the street, and here comes a Bhakta Joe, and he just laughs and distributes the first day, you know, 20, and the next day 50, and the next day 80 books. I mean, he didn't do anything. He was eating meat one month ago. What is this? But this is Krishna's expertise. Krishna is giving a big, you know, like some taste. Come on, get ahead, isn't it nice? And the devotee goes, yeah, it's great! And he comes back in a van, looks on the Sankirtan, you know, how many did you eat? Yeah. And one thinks, what a puffed up fellow, and he's still distributing, it's incredible. That goes for some time. And then Krishna goes, okay, now it was a phase one, now comes a phase two. A little bit of purification. And our dear Bhakta Joe suddenly, uh-oh, it doesn't go that easily anymore. A little bit police in between, you know, a little bit rain, a little bit losing some Lakshmi in between, this kind of thing. So he gets a bit humbled. And actually, Krishna is very scientifically removing all the material motivations from the heart of the Sankirtan devotee. If one just continues to do this activity, everything will come out. These are even the most foul devotees, most heavy guys, and nicely working out just by going on Sankirtan. If one just embraces activity, Sankirtan is melting everybody. It's melting everybody, it's bringing everybody in the proper shape. And that's a wonderful thing if you have like a Sankirtan Bhakta program. Then you can see how does it gross, you know, engagement that conditioned soul, how it's shaping up and coming the real devotee, the real distributor. And every distributor is different because every soul is different. He may even say the same, but how he's doing it, that's something very tasty to see. Every Sankirtani is a different thing. And every Sankirtani devotee, of course, he has his body too. So it's interesting how Krishna is using his body in a particular way. Actually, I would say most of the Sankirtan devotees, you look through the street, how they distribute, they are a little bit crazy, you know. You can see, it's a little bit crazy what they are doing. It's natural because you are dealing with only with crazy people, practically. So there is no way of to be sane. You may try to go ahead, and in some countries people are more sober. Maybe it's possible to present the books like, you know, hello, here we are, you know. I mean, in some countries it's not very impossible. People are such savages that you know, that they see the books as something eatable, or something like this. I mean, I could give you examples of this. You know, most of the people we meet on the street, they are completely on a sensual platform. Completely. So, we could even go so far to say that Sankirtan is nothing to do with a rational platform, really. So actually, what we are doing is completely irrational. Okay? Nobody can ever understand how so many books, which we have sometimes hard time to understand, you know, can be distributed to people who, for sure, many of them cannot understand anything. I mean, sometimes they open this Bhagavatam, they go upside down, they go, what is this Chinese, you know? You see this wild look on their face, and they open this, and they say, it's interesting, but I cannot read this. So, Sankirtan is happening on the level of which we can specifically understand in Sridhar Mayapur. This is just the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's on the bottom line, the level where Sankirtan goes. And us, we are surrendering and we are receiving that mercy and becoming a tool in the hands of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is not a dry philosopher. Lord Chaitanya has humor too. So, and Lord Chaitanya is full of bliss, eternal, full of knowledge of truth. And that's the nature of the Sankirtan devotee also. By surrendering to the most blissful, he becomes also blissful. And that's the underlying energy or power which Sankirtan devotee derives to perform this activity. Sankirtan inspiration doesn't come from the mind. Of course, we are also using the mind. Of course, for sure, it doesn't come from the senses. The senses will not inspire you to distribute more books. The senses will go, look at this and look at that, and immediately we are confused. The mind, he will not inspire you either. He is too slow. The intelligence, we'll just try to figure out how to get more sense purification, that's all.
And the false ego will scream at you, "What are you doing? Are you crazy? Nobody likes these books. And people spit on you all the time. What are you doing there, mad?" This is a false ego. "Just see, he told you you are an idiot. How can you continue like this? The whole life. You have to show them that you are not, so you are big." And as you try to show them, you are big. Well, they will show you, because regarding false egos, karmis are champions. You cannot compete. Even the most fucked up devotee cannot compete with a false ego or the average karmi. Not possible. You cannot compete on that level. They will defeat you in 1 second. So finally, we always end up in this helpless position. So where do we get our inspiration from? Our inspiration we get only from the spiritual master and Krishna. From Lord Chaitanya, that's where we get. And by becoming tool in the mission of Lord Chaitanya, yeah, then we are doing things we may not even have imagined we have done. Like sometimes Sangitani would be coming back in the evening. If you would play him a video film what he did on the street during the day, I don't think he himself would believe that. You do the most incredible things. You don't know what you are doing even sometimes. You are just blissful. That's all. This thing is forward. Therefore, one devotee surrendering in a shopping street, for example, you will find him being completely blissful. Another one, the same shopping street, the same people, the same town, he will not surrender, and he is very miserable. The whole world looks for him like a big, dark, black cloud. That's all. Yeah. And the other one goes, "This is nectar here. I just met one, he took 5 books. And you go, "Why?" "He doesn't know." Yeah. We were distributing the books sometimes on such a level. I remember we had in Germany a Nectar of Devotion, which was inside, the hardcover was white, like marble, and outside was brown. Yeah. So I remember one devotee, he invented the mantra on the street, you know, this thing. He was going, "This book is so wonderful. Yeah. Outside like a chocolate, inside like marzipan." People were, "How much?" I just get hungry. Yeah. So that's most, I mean, this not to be imitated. You cannot imitate. This is just to show that the Sankirtan is on another level. And you didn't invent that mantra either. We didn't have a seminary on this, you know. Today we are going to say, "Outside is a chocolate, inside is a chocolate." These things come just in the mind, in the process of surrender. I mean, there are so many stories. I could go now for 6 hours just on this, you know. And it's, of course, funny to hear. But you don't learn so much from that. Generally, you just get the point that the Sankirtan is just inspiration. It comes to me coming from the heart. And that, how to connect oneself to this powerhouse of love of Godhead, that's actually the science. And therefore, this is a great challenge for a Sankirtan devotee. How to connect oneself? So many other things are required. Starting with the Four Regulative Principles and association with devotees. That is, one has to be very careful on this. If one is offensive to devotees, how can one be inspired to preach to the tongues? Then one is to find one's place in a society of devotees. That's also very important, to keep the mind peaceful. If one knows where I belong, comes, you know, to the point of guna and karma. Okay, we are not this body, but we got the body. Now how can we park the body in Krishna consciousness, that car, you know, in a proper way, so we don't bump non-stop into others, into other devotees. Yeah? This is all part of Sankirtan. How can we stay peaceful in Krishna consciousness? Yeah. How can we disrequise brain? And we don't have a brain, we have to pray for brain. Obedience to the spiritual master. Who will tell us? Who will engage us according to guna and karma? Also. And who will tell us, "Now you do Sankirtan. Now you take a break. Now you go to Mayapur and relax. And now you go on marathon." You know. Because as soon fanaticism, this false ego fanatism enters, then things get out of balance. And we go, "I go now only to my happy for the rest of my life." That may be alright for somebody not. Or one goes, "I will go on the street and die." You know, it's another version. I could speak about this once. I was locked in by Hayakesha Swami in a room, because I was on that point. I will die on the street. It wasn't very practical. Neither I could help too many other people. This is crazy, you know. But I had the idea that this is how one ends up one's life in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't very practical. So this is all extremes, which can be avoided by hearing, keeping the hearing activated. Therefore, a Sangita devotee has to be very careful to keep the ears always open, to state that the dog sees through the nose, Kami sees through the eyes, and devotee, he sees through the ears, by hearing from Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. And this way he is protecting himself all the time. So that awareness of sensitivity must be there. Sangitani Murus have a big challenge because they are the whole week out there, traveling. So the association they have in the temple has to be utilized in an extreme way, extremely proper way, because it's quite limited. Yeah. We used to travel for years on Sangitan, hardly ever seeing the temple, just loading the books and going again. Somehow, I don't know even nowadays how we did it, but nowadays to write that. Nowadays we have a much more, I would say, balanced programs. Specifically in Western countries, it's much more balanced, where there are all the devotees and there's lots of balanced association. So, to make a long-term program how to go in Sankirtan, it takes real science how to do that. There's so many other ingredients required. Anyway, without going too much in the length of this, maybe we could just have some exchange of experiences, some questions like that, and then we can hit more detailed points. Somebody has some practical questions?
You talked about one has to be selected with a flower or to have a thought if you need to inspire. Should you let me go on that?
Sigma is honesty. You know? Sigma is honesty. That we get this artificial designation that are out of our heart, out of our brains. Everybody in the material world is getting some artificial, you know, designation. Yeah, I am this and I am that. But who are we really? So, as soon as we come close to the truth, and doesn't include only truth, I mean the absolute truth, it includes the truth, who are we actually? What kind of body I got? What kind of modes of nature are bothering me? Yeah? Where is the enemy? All these things, all together, bring us to the point of realization about our position. Many, many years ago, Hare Krishna Swami said something in a lecture which stuck really in our minds in Sankirtan devotees. It seems that in a material world, all the problems can be traced down to one problem, if you don't understand our position. And if you analyze all the problems we have, generally they turn around back. So you think, I am this, and I am that. Okay, I'm not this, but I am that. Okay, I'm not, you know. And in this way, we see we sometimes get lots of trouble. Become dissatisfied in our service. We walk around looking for another service. Become dissatisfied in Sankirtan, you know, like that. And then we cannot continue ourselves. And not to speak of connect ourselves to the proper inspiration. We try to derive the inspiration from the false ego, which dictates us so many false identities. And there we are dissatisfied, of course. So to connect oneself, one has to put oneself in a proper position, of course. Therefore, like on Sankirtan, it just goes on Sankirtan. It's like, how do you learn to swim? It's difficult to learn to swim on a dry land. So you just push somebody into a swimming pool and then, you know, first of all, just a bit down, you know, and get a bit of water in the mouth, that's okay. But it's a very fast way how to learn to swim. And there's, of course, always some safety around, sure. So Sankirtan, there's so much safety. There's the devotees around, the spiritual master, and so much safety. So, it comes in so many ways, so many requirements. There must be study, there must be simplicity, there must be detachment, there must be so many qualities. Therefore, it's difficult to speak about the Sankirtan devotee. There is not the Sankirtan devotee, it's the devotee. And who is the devotee? Well, we find out in Prabhupada's books. So much to learn. Therefore, you will find Sankirtan devotees, you know, they have this wonderful quality. They always want to learn. That's a very important requirement. They never settle down. They think, okay, I got it now. Or they want to learn. And Sankirtan is a process where you learn. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we have marathons. I mean, I'm nowadays quite lots in temples, so I go out time to time. So you go out in the street and somebody, it goes again, you start to distribute. So the devotees ask, how do you do this? I don't know. It's just a question of, actually every day is a new day. You cannot say, I know this much. No, every day is a new day. Every day you stand there, you don't know. Maybe the first karma will slap you in the face. Maybe he will give you $100. Who knows? You don't know. And that's a wonderful thing on Sankirtan. You are forced to depend on Krishna only. To discover actually Krishna. Where is he? What is he going to do today with me? And there is me. Am I puffed up? I was thinking I'm humble, but now I see I'm puffed up. There were days in Sankirtan, you know, where you go around and you, in the morning, you think, I chanted my rounds. Yeah. Didn't eat very much. I'm not tired. I'm not sick. And then you go out, nothing goes. Because you calculated Krishna. Like a calculator. You were saying, I'm going to calculate him today, and this means Krishna comes out. No, he will not. Because he will not be counted. He will not be calculated. Yeah? And then what? And then again, surrender. And there are days where you wake up and you are sick, and you know, and you change your rounds, and then you try to go out, and you think, this is going to be the worst day of my life. And you go out on the street, you know, every Sankirtan devotee knows this. He goes there, you think, not today, today is nothing going to happen. But I'm going to do this because this is my duty, and this is the order of my spiritual master, so I'm just going to do this. And you go, hello, take one of these, and they go, how much is this? And you go, why, just give what you can. Is $100 enough? Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. You go, well, that was luck. But the next one is going to be a demon, because today I couldn't even punch a demon in the nose. I'm so finished. And the next one goes, oh yeah, can I help you? You know? And then you go to home. I remember that was the best day from Sankirtan I had. In the evening you come back to the van, and you still have fever, and you still, you know, and you go, hi, bro. And the devotees come back and Sankirtan. They go, how much? And you go, 140. And they go, oh, how did you dump them? I go, I don't know, I'm sick, I have a fever. Hare Krishna. And you just think, Krishna is so amazing. Krishna is so wonderful. It's such a, you know, satisfaction of Sankirtan devotee is somewhere else, as in this external level. Satisfaction is deeper in the heart. Actually, I'm going to serve Krishna my whole life anyway. And suddenly you have this deep inside the feeling, nobody can stop me to do this. It's a wonderful thing. Nobody can take this away from me. And that satisfaction, that makes people to take a book. If they meet somebody like this, they think, they, you know, the funny thing is karmas are all the time in Maya. But they know if you are in Maya or not. I don't know how they know this, but they know this. They're very sensitive for that. They know exactly if you are puffed up or not. And if you have this humility in the heart, this full dependence on Krishna, they just feel attracted. They think, wow. I know, like, I was with Rohini Sudha Prabhu. If you see how he distributes books, you will see nothing. You know Rohini Sudha? Somebody of you know? You know Rohini Sudha? He has absolutely no physical abilities to do Sankirtan. Never had. He joined my van as a bhakta. He was so weak. He almost, the child died under undernourishment. He was so weak. I had to change with him the rounds. He was hanging over my arm here. We were changing the rounds like this. Now I let him go, he was dropping down. He couldn't stand on his legs. Every morning the same. Like this. And he was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then I put him in a van and I put him on the street. Those times we had a Sangitan bag, it fit like 70 Gitas inside. It was like, it wasn't bags, it was like kind of sofa, you know? It was the kind of thing like this. If I imagine nowadays, it looks monstrous, you know? It was like Mataji made these bags with this gumi inside here. It's a huge thing. And then we had, I remember, 60 Gitas inside. And then there was a ten on top for 70 gigas like this. Loading like camels, you know. So I remember when he said, I told him, he was so tired in the morning, he was always, and I put him in a van, and I put the bag around his neck, and loaded him like, you know. And then I turned him direct to Shopping Street, and then he was going, you know, he has this funny legs, you know, it's like matches, you know. And then I was saying, he will not make it even to the shopping street, you know. So I loaded my bag and I walked out and I see him in a shopping street. You know. Completely embraces flying to the shopping street. I mean, he is an embodiment of spiritual energy. Just, you cannot physically explain it. It's impossible. Sanyana doesn't depend on his physical abilities whatsoever. And he is going until today. All the devotees sometimes are just, you know, and then he goes along again, marathon after marathon, and still out there, and, you know, unbelievable. This is spiritual energy. So Sanyana doesn't depend on physical things. It's just spiritual. He's connecting. This is the only science how to do it, to connect. It's a question of purification. But it's a question also of sincerity and putting oneself in a proper position. How do you connect yourself to the electricity? Well, you have to put your finger into the, you know, then it comes. Sangitani devotees, they get very addicted to this sometimes. That they don't want to go down even from this place. Because they want to be always, you know, connected. Always. Sometimes this is also somewhat mundane. They come to the temple and they just, you know, power is out. We used to be cursed ourselves. We don't go to the temple anymore. This is fanatism. It was like climbing up the iceberg, you know, and then suddenly you go down again, and then Monday again. To keep the consciousness in that level. But this is artificial. One has to be trained up to be Krishna conscious all the time. And that's the science, how to become one with the mission of the spiritual master. How to be oneself, unite oneself so much that there is no 1 minute one doesn't live without that. There is actually devotees, they walk around, like Rohini Sutta. He walks around, you look at him, you see he must be a book distributor. Yeah. Because it's just, but his mind is just thinking all the time. It's the only thing you can speak about. And there are devotees which is, he must be a pujari. You see, did you remember the deity just by seeing the devotee? He's so devoted to his service. That's actually a devotee. A devotee you see just by looking at him, you see what kind of service he has. He's so devoted. A preacher, you realize, preacher is such a, he lives on it. He always wants to preach to others. Then Krishna consciousness becomes very tasteful. It's not just, you know, give me, give me, give me, and why I'm not happy in Krishna consciousness, and remove my problems, please. And everybody has a problems. They're all the time there. Sangitani devotee learns how to put the problems on a shelf, and they are just there. We used to have it Rohini Sutta and mantra, because every day we came to another town, and there was always something. Too many little people, or too much rain, too cold, too warm, something. So we always met on the street, and we always used to analyze this. Oh, this town is just too heavy, and it's just, you know, it's too much sun and too much heat. And it's too much rain and it's too cold. And then we realize, what are we doing here? Wasting time. So we are just one mantra, like, you know.
Just keep on going. And then we meet each other and we're always, just keep on going.
Just push on. And then we just keep on going. And just the other stuff was going on all the time anyway. Yeah. Something else?
because devotees can practice and use their skills as we like to have the use of the skills and use our skills.
Yes, it can be something like this. I was just, this is from the yearly. Yeah. This is from the whole world. I just don't know. Do you think it's good to read this number? I was just thinking more because I don't have so much, you know, for a long time. Keep it more on the exchange level. The devotees, I feel more alive and nothing by that.
There's a nice story about how someone became a devotee. They were a cat burner. They were a thief. They'd break into houses, steal TVs, radios, and then they'd go sell it for money. So this one devotee...
Difficult with the mic here. Come on, disconnect it.
This one devotee... Broke into a house. He's a thief. And while he was in the house, the people started to come home. He said, no, I gotta steal something. So he grabbed something, he ran out the back door. A little while later, he looked, it was a Bhagavad Gita. And he read it, and he became a devotee. So these books are like time bombs for us. Sorry.
There's there's one nice thing about
Sankirtan that we can experience the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, how it's activated even in the most foreign parts of the world. Like, I don't know, in Sweden, this is far, far away, like really north, where people are just used to be Vikings, you know, savages, and they still are. They got some computers and they got some cars, but otherwise they're still the same nature is there. So even there one can see how the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is activating people. People are extremely important in these parts of the world, you know. Very, very, very remote parts and very cold. People are very important. But even there you can see, Srila Prabhupada's books are there. I remember Avinash Chandra Prabhu, he told me a story. He was preaching in Hungary. And Hungary is a very spooky place, very ghostly. It's a very ghostly place. So you make a program like that, and people just sit there, the whole program. You can have 200 people, but they all sit there. Romania is also like that. And then he was thinking, oh, what a public, you know. Nitya go, Haribol! There are places like this. So, you know, you're saying, what a problem. So then you always say, okay, so here we are, Hare Krishna movement, and we are not this body, and we are spiritual soul. And by the way, we have some books here, you know, from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Everybody jumped up and all got a book, and they sit there again. And I realized it was actually a good program because, you know, everybody got a book. So there are things like that where you, when signing on, you realize this is just happening. I'm just looking. What can you do? We had a very experience like, you know, so many Sankirtan stories. In Germany, we had a wonderful pastime with demons. Actually, the country is called Digestan. It's, you know, it's just consisting of demons. Right? I mean, people are generally okay, but they are so demoniacally trained and very aggressive and passionate. But it's a wonderful country for Sankirtan because they buy books. They just do. But you meet all these, you know, Germans. Everybody knows Germans, these square guys with this helmet, you know. This is the mentality of anybody you meet in that country. So if you live on the street, you meet continuously people coming, you know, and, do you have permission? You know, this is the first thing. And if you go, yo,
first, how much?
You know, it's like, we have a very square understanding of the world. But it's quite easy to deal with them once you understand the mentality. Even police is coming, I mean, I don't want to get in Jesus and the police leave us, but, you know, every country got its own problems here and there, you know.
So
again, if one actually spiritually satisfied, you don't take this so seriously. So the world is just treated like a theater, you know. Actually, everybody is playing some sort of game. Like we have our misunderstandings about our identity, in our struggling to get rid of it. So they have, I mean, what to speak of them? Everybody is living from that. Doctor, PhD, and this and that, and they put this plate on a door, and this is their shelter. They take shelter in this false designation. Bhagavatam says, it's a world of names. It's names, and they are taking full shelter in it. So Sanyadani Wood is very expert because he knows this. So as an expert physician or a doctor, he's dealing with these names, you know. Yes, Mr. Doctor. Even Srila Prabhupada says, you are Americans, so I came here to make you to a better American. You know, songs can go on or something. But he used this nationalist, you want a really good American, who's a Krishna conscious American, you know. So this all, you are a Christian? Well, I will make you a better Christian. Yeah? So the devotee, he doesn't artificially immediately discourage people from this. He rather introduce the medicine in them, putting it on the sugar, you know, in a proper way so they can take it. And this therefore every Sanyatani becomes more and more expert scientist in this too. There was a devotee, so Prabhupada used to say, you can give books to everybody. By understanding that, you know, the covering of that conditioned soul, in that your devotee, he has this, just this mantra level, you know, just, hello, here we are, and we are distributing this. No, okay. Hello, here we are, and distributing. No, okay. You know, and you go to everybody, like, until somebody just clicks in and he takes it. That's good. It's good in the beginning. But there's another level of Sankirtan, where one just starts to understand the covering of people, you know. And you go, hello, Herr Professor. And he goes, how do you know I'm Professor? You know. I remember once I met a hunter like this. I was going, you know, hello, how is the hunt today? And he was going, how do you know I'm a hunter? He wasn't dressed as a hunter. You know, this professional hunters, you know, hunter club or something like this, you know. And he was going, how do you know this? He goes, well, you know, this is yoga, you know. Make one of these. It's everything on the boat. You want to eat, he goes, no. Our demons, it's very easy to see. Yeah, they always have vibrations all over the world. Demons have the same vibrations generally.
You know, they wait for you to steal the book. You know, so we used to do this. It's funny. You know, they see you passing all the books. So they wait. They're just on the line as you are coming to steal the book. So they wait. Then you are coming, hello. And you know, he's waiting there. So generally we avoid them. But sometimes I just couldn't do this just to have some fun. Just lend to him, you know, and you hold the book very tight. So you go, hello, and he goes, it's for free. But he's amazed because you are passing out the book so freely. But in his case, it doesn't go out because you hold it. So I was just saying, this book is just an exhibition, you know, copy. It's glued here, you know, just for showing the real good side. You know, it's like a potato, you cut it in half, you know. Just go home again.
No, you have to believe.
Okay, so you will wait here, I will bring my friend, you know, from the police station, and he will confirm, I will wait here, you know, okay, sure. Then he goes around the corner, he goes, Prabhus, let's get in the car, another time.
This kind of thing, you know, in Germany you would have to live with this daily. It happens daily, such a thing, you know. You have a policeman, you know, they're coming to you very heavily. The major thing is, everybody should never be afraid. It happened to me in my Christmas marathon in Berlin. You know, a guy pulled a gun on me, a real one. He was in the middle of the night, he was distributing day and night. So he distributed night, and suddenly, just instead of luckily, he pulls out the gun. I don't know why, but I completely spontaneously put a little finger inside. I was going, so now what? He was start to laugh. It was so spontaneous, he just couldn't, you know. I didn't know why I did that. He could also push the thing and my finger would be gone. This kind of thing, you know, the Sankirtan can be so nice. You just feel like nothing can stop you. Nobody. And it doesn't matter how many books you distribute. There's one thing about this quota business, you know. It can also damage the devotee. You know, if you get too much social pressure on this, then you forget why you're actually doing this, to give people Krishna. I'm very bad to speak about this because I was very much motivated by quotas by some 30 years, but then what if it doesn't work? What about if you are sick and you cannot make it work? This means you became a demon. You know, it creates a great psychological trouble for a devotee, this quota business sometimes. So it's at this point some intelligence has to be there, and we have to understand who cares for the quota. We are supposed to give a whole life going out and giving people Krishna consciousness. And there are countries where devotees do not so many books, but it's very hard to distribute books. And there are countries, like I can give you an example of Czechoslovakia, where until now it was quite easy to put up a table on the street, and you put some books on it, and you have a huge queue of people.
I want one book, please.
You know, yeah. So to do book distribution like this, but you're romantic, you know. You just stand there and, yeah, this is, you know, this is Bhagavad Gita, sure. You know, and they go, okay, you wait here. I bring the money. And they run home, you know, and they are borrowing money from people and this kind of thing. Now it's not so easy anymore. Times are changing a little bit. You will find some nice so-called Christian coming and kicking your table and this kind of things, you know, and people go, you know, Satan, you know, and it's changing a little bit. Similarly, things can change back again. I remember I was in Germany in a time where it was so demoniac. I know maybe the older devotees remember this. There was a heavy, heavy thing going on in India. In Germany, they raided the whole temple, the police. And they threw the devotees in jail for one day, and they took all the money, and all the newspapers were yelling for half a year non-stop, Hare Krishna, the worst criminal organization after the Second World War. They are offering little children a fire sacrifice. This kind of thing. Every day headlines. You went on Sankirtan on the street, you stand there, and just people seeing you, they go, I got him! It was like the response they got. The police comes, and they make these fingerprints and these photos with the number here. Right? And then 3 times a day, we came back to the car with completely black hands. Actually, it was completely illegal what they did, but they did it anyway because it was in the newspaper. Yeah? And people just throwing stones and kicking the car. And after 3 months, it was like going away. After half a year, it was nothing more. And we had the biggest book distribution we ever had. It was very inspiring to distribute books like this. Because you have to really take your side. You know where you are. So that's another thing on Sankirtan. One cannot be pretender. Even a religious monk. One cannot be even pious on Sankirtan. It's not possible. Give us our daily prasadam. Who cares for food? It's people distributing. Krishna gives Krishna doesn't, we are distributing the books anyway. So to show how Sankirtan is such a pure thing, you have to just depend on Krishna consciousness. We used to do marathons just to demonstrate you what this mantra business means. Yesterday Hare Krishna Swami said this wonderful point that it doesn't mean that you know we cannot rush. Actually Sankirtan doesn't depend on this rational platform. It depends on surrender. It's actually a spiritual potency. I remember we used to, Srila Prabhupada came to Germany, and we got the idea, typical German idea, we are going to collect Mercedes, we are going to get a Mercedes car for him in one day, the whole yatra. Yeah. So, on a particular day, the whole yatra went out. Everybody, even the pujari, everybody went out. It was those times, 120 devotees, everybody out. And we, of course, we were all the time on traveling, so we had one special place we knew, one town, where practically you can do around the clock. It doesn't die at night. It was a downtown, you know, really low place. But we knew, this is the place going to be. So we started 7 o'clock in the morning already, the first one, yeah? We did LPs and books simultaneously those times. And then we started 7 o'clock already, and this is a really good time. But by 1 o'clock you are ending up only like 120 LPs and 60 books, you know. It's like just warming up. And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we are already in full action. And 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we are really into it. And at night, it starts to get really funny. And I remember we used to do so at night. We went until 4 o'clock next day. And then we drove to the temple. I remember we came to the morning, to the Guru Puj. And we were completely mad, you know, with our Sankirtan bags and just dashing into the Guru Puj and chanting and shouting and screaming. And then, and then I remember we had such a far month around midnight. You go to this most far, low class place, we don't want to mention even Mahapur Dham, these kind of places. And he just goes there and we had such a far mantra. We were so embraced because it was for Prabhupada. So people asked, you know, what is this? And we were going, it's for Prabhupada. And they were going, you know, really? You know? There was no rational thing whatsoever involved. And someone has to be going, can you give me a little bit more? Sure! People were crying. People were crying, pulling all the money back. It was such an ecstatic thing. It was just, I know this marathon, everybody, and this day everybody remembers to participate. It was just everybody's same experience. Meeting in a temple, going completely mad. Because this is actually that everyone, and that energy is still there. It's available for everybody. For everybody, he voluntarily agrees. Yes, actually, I want to please Srila Prabhupada. I remember all these moments where you hit the 100. I used to have this 120 books that was like a magical line to cross. And in the evenings, you do your 120, and then the street is getting empty. And nobody's there anymore. I remember, I was always thinking, at this point, I could start actually to thank you. Because coming up to this growth, you know, recovering and to getting the consciousness a little bit higher, and then on that point we have to stop and go to sleep. Very frustrating. But anyway, next day you have to again turn on the engine again and Hare Krishna, trying to get up from the, like the airplane getting through the clouds, trying to hit the blue sky again if it's possible. Some days you stay below, some stay above. What can you do? So this is a daily struggle of the Sankirtan world, and it's a wonderful struggle. Struggle we have to anyway. And the most amazing thing is Sankirtan devotees are struggling the whole week. They come back to the temple, they're ecstatic. And if somebody prefers some more comfortable lifestyle, he should be actually externally more happy. But he's not. Generally he's not. I always remember the whole week, just struggle. Sometimes it was a really struggle. And then I was thinking, Saturday I will come back to the temple and I will take a rest, you know, relax for the next week. Then I was coming to the temple, I was a big kid, and there was no question of any rest, it was completely ecstatic. It was completely Saturday, Sunday, completely ecstatic, throwing the books in the car again and going again. Sometimes Sankirtani worries are so driven by this energy, they forget even the body. Actually, they shouldn't. Completely, because they are there and they have to be taken care of too. But sometimes they are so ecstatic that they don't want to take care anymore. They just want to go over this. And you feel this limitation. It's incredible conditioning. When Sankirtan is hitting the limit, and you know, it could go more. I could go beyond that. It was so nice. Krishna was just here. He's not the guy who took 5 books, but now he's gone again. So it's how to stay connected with Krishna, that's a big thing. I was just thinking, if I feel completely embarrassed that we have a 2 sannyasis sitting there in the back, like in a Gurukul. Maharaj, please, would you come and say something to me? Yes. They didn't bring the cushion. We were trying to get the cushion, but maybe if you could at least sit a little bit and say something. Ramachandra Maharaj, what can I say? He's inspiring only for people.
He's also very empowered. He's just in all of the United States.
That's the scary thing about such a meeting. They're always such a
you know, such a big divorce in between, you never know who is what, you know. And then it's because we are like, I mean, you know, actually Sankirtan devotees is like in disguise here. The real, you meet them in a shopping street, then you see, oh, you know. Here is just so many devotees and they walk here, you know, Nitya Go Haribo, somewhere in Parikram in the back. But then on the street, and you see, you know, then they just come out. I mean, they are such a devotees in this movement, it's incredible. He would ever have association with Hainamananda Prabhu, it's just powerful. He doesn't look like it, that's not the way it is. You ask him, how do you do this? 900 books a day. Nobody can rationally explain how do you 900 books a day. He's not, in his consciousness since years, he's not distributing any more books like this. He always counts them on stock, you know. They count it on piles. How many piles today? He is in the Sangitan, and before he goes out, he is in a back door, he is in piling up like this, prepared, and then he always just opens the door like this. And people, if you would see the people, like in Zurich, you know, it's such a dumb town. Everybody has a book. Even when he says it's just too much, everybody, you go to the post office, you know, just to mail a letter to Hare Krishna. And they go, hey, did you got something new? I have only 2 sets at home, the same. Is some more new books coming? And they go, sorry, but I have something they got, you know, like this. I can get you one magazine here, it's a new, you know. And it's incredible. It's such a small country. I think 6 million people or something like this. Yeah. And I think most of the books in the whole world are distributed in that place. It's incredible. And I know Hainamananda, he has no relationship to place, time, circumstance. It's just starts, you know. You don't see very much. You just see, he goes just hello, and people go, oh yeah, how much, you know? Because he's always his photos in the expo, you know. For people standing there with this, you know, they don't understand anything. Is this good about? Yeah. There's absolutely no physical reason for that. Actually, one important point in Sankirtan is people take books because of course there's a superstore, but actually the devotee is actually a very important part. Not that he is a doer, but he is the one who surrenders, who activates the whole soul. He's a devotee. Therefore sometimes we say, well, these books are transcendental, the supersoul is there, it should work on anybody. No, it doesn't, because it requires our participation. And people take the book because of you. The book, actually, yeah, the book is certainly transcendental, but people have so many books at home. And that's how they zeal. Another book, so like, yeah, yeah, it's okay. But then, you, they, the personality of the devotee is so prominent, he takes over that karma. He takes over his mind and his senses and everything. You know, you see people, they are like under this, you know, like under, you know, a bell, you know, like that. Sankirtan devotee goes and they go, wee wee. And they stand there, after the bell is gone, they stand there. What happened? What happened? Once I asked him, I guess you tell me, how valuable is this transcendental experience under this bell, you know, these few seconds they get together, the devotees. And he said, it never gets in lost. They forget this later on, but actually the underneath the taste, that was the first taste they got in spiritual life. I mean, I once told the story, I mean, maybe I can tell you, yeah, it's just... I was once in a shopping center, that really demonstrates. And, you know, in parking lot in shopping center. So it's a typical scene where the man is sitting in a car waiting for the wife coming back from the shopping center after she spent all his money. So, you know, he's sitting there, and generally this man, they have just a little pocket money left over, you know, like, because she has all the money. But in a car, people feel more safe. So it's actually a good place to distribute. So you bang on a roof and go, hello, you know. Yeah. And then you put the books in a car, it's just got it right away there in the lap. He cannot throw it out anymore. It's like, you know, it's a nice environment. So, and then, you know, and the man was like, oh, no. And then he got out of the car, even.
and he was a big guy, you know, like, you don't know Germany is a part of Bavaria, mostly farmers.
Really big guys.
They're like bulls. They have a neck like this. They have a hand like, you know, like, could cover, you know, two faces. I'm just saying. The book is the pierce in the hand, practically. And they go, and they are very gross. And after this, the Buddhism always very physical. You find them in a stomach and set them on the head. They like it. They say, otherwise, they don't wake up. They don't feel anything. You have to settle and they just, you know, they shake. So you have to believe it like this. And he was a nice guy. They're like bears, you know. They're good heart, but they are just very gross. So I was just, you know, punching in the stomach and patting on the head, and his whole show starts to shake, you know, and he was becoming jolly and okay. But exactly that moment I see the woman coming from the door from the shopping house was saying, oh no. You know the classical scene, the woman coming back and going, we don't want this book. You know? So I was saying, oh no. So I speeded up my mantra, give him a little bit, and, you know, I'm punching him. And he was, oh, okay, alright. And he pulled the money back already out, and then she came in between. And she was like, so cool. She was so cruel. She was like, give it back. And then she got in a car. And I could see suddenly there was that moment they remember Lord Chaitanya, you know. Suddenly there was something in the guy, it clicked. And he got determination, I'm not going to put the book back. You could see generally his whole rest of the life he spent under dictatorship of the particular lady. But, you know, he kind of, suddenly there was some revolution taking place, you know. He goes, no, I wanted to. And then she turned around and said, just give it back. Like, completely confident about herself. And he was, no, I think I'm going to buy the book. And she was, I am crazy! Just, you know, fuck! But I want that book! And then she came around, and she kind of tried to pull the book out of his hand and slam it on my face. And he hit the book away, and instead of that, he grabbed her on the neck. With his huge hand. And she turned white, you know, because he never, whole life, he did such a thing to her, obviously. And she was like,
you be quiet.
And then he just pushed her away, and then he just took the money and bought the book. And he turned to her and he said, and now we go. And he just sit in a car and drove away. And I remember this incident was so... You know, it was so, you could see, this is Lord Chaitanya, this is incredible. Yeah, this completely conditioned character, not only by the material nature, but by his wife on top of it. So, you know, it's like, and here he was, tasting the first bliss of liberation from his material condition, from his wife. So, this is a moment where you get such a faith in Krishna consciousness, you think it works even on these fellows. Not to speak of those that are a little bit more pious. So there are so many, you know, every Sanghidhani Vodhi, I'm sure there's so many stories to tell like this, where you just can see, yeah, Lord Chaitanya is a reality. And Krishna is a reality, he's here. And that's what makes Krishna consciousness so tasteful. This pure faith you gain by being purified and sanctified. Therefore, everybody should engage in it. As a matter of fact, if somebody joins this movement, he doesn't go on Sankirtan. Just for the sake of training, he will have a hard time later on. Because this material identification will go with you. All the Prabhupada is actually missing. Sankirtan devotees, everybody went out. More or less. It keeps you aloof from the designations and from the bodily identifications which material nature is so busily always supplies us. Easy to say we are into the body, but how to put it into action? For do some powerful processes in it. And that's very easy in Sankirtan. Any more questions? Some practical questions?
Yeah.
experience had been the feedback on it. So he's like always calling people over. So like this one guy just like 100 feet away. So he goes, sorry, excuse me. And I was like, Frank came here. But the guy comes all over and he has these two heavy bags and shoulders.
It just depends on the mind. It's just an open mind. I remember one Maharaji in Germany, she was the first time who did like, those times we did LPs in her first days. So she did like 200 LPs. And I said, Maharaji was just almost invisible, you know. Just, and she was so weak, she couldn't go around the shopping street. She was just boxes with LPs and she was standing on a corner. Usually you don't do things like that, but she couldn't do otherwise. And then I was just rewarding and I always saw from the stream of that kami somebody tuning out, like by magnet. And I was thinking, why are you know, there was something else going on. It's normal, you know, the shopping street stream of kamis, you know, just everybody was saying, just pushed up and down by Maya. So, you know, so and I was somebody like caught like a fish out of the stream, like, I was thinking, who is it? And then I saw in a corner, just there was sheep. And she was just, you know, to a lady like this. And she was just... and she was there so intensely, you know, that just, people just... and just, you know... And then she had this spout mantra. She just gave people the LP and he said, this is LP, it's nice, you have money. And it's incredible, man, that you don't say things like this. But it was so simple that the mind of them was just, you know, they couldn't even say why. They just, it was so simple that they couldn't just, and then they went, yeah, I have money. Can you give a little bit? Yeah, okay. And then she was, can you give a little bit more? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Then you saw these people going to give you a piece. What was this? And then again she was. And another one was. Out. Of course, there are different methods of distribution. You know, some devotees, they make a whole show and say, oh, here we are, and, oh, you know, my friends, you know. And as the spiritual energy takes over, I remember in the middle of the marathon, you used to have such a thing going on. Sometimes if I just chant, you know, you chant between the people if you distribute. Always. And you chant more and more. And this chanting and distribution is accelerating. So sometimes we were just so speedy, we start to dance on the street or distributing, just go, hello, you know. And sometimes it got so mad, the boys just, you know, grab the kami, just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, hey, they want to see. And people just, oh. Actually, if you do it purely and nicely, they don't mind at all. People don't mind anything if you do it nicely and purely. But as soon as the first ego comes in between, then I think, why are you touching me? You know, what is this? You know, German is a good thing, and these people have such a false ego. Just the offense, you stop them. They want to take revenge on you. What? You stopped me. You know, so you have to be really like going under the seat. And sometimes you meet a demon, they're so heavy. He's so determined, he'll go the whole day after you. I remember once I was put up, they put me out of the van, you know, and then they put me in a little town, just a little town, just a little street, and there was a few people walking around. So it was a nice town. Such a place sometimes are very nice. But unfortunately, after being alone there for 5 minutes, I met a big so-called Christian, you know, and he was like, Satan! And I knew he has time, and he's going to go after me all day. And he goes, you know, they go always between the people, you know, you speak and they go in between, you know. I would like to inform you this is a very dangerous sect. You know, and then just, no. Saying, what to do with him? I don't know, again, you don't know in this moment what you are doing. But I never looked in his face because it was such a heavy vibration from that man. But I saw his shoes. And he had one of his old fashioned shoes, like with his, what is it? His strings in it, you know. Huh? Yeah, no, you tie the shoes.
And then, I don't know why, but I just went down, ran on the floor, made the dandavat and opened my full shoes. I don't know why I did it. And he completely stopped. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Stop it! And then I saw his two shoes just turning 180 degrees, and he started to run like mad. Because he was saying, what is the guy going to do next? You know? And I could have done it for Mr. Woody again, but okay, no problem. But, you know, it's like these things you might like to remember in the evening. What am I doing here in Korea? So one shouldn't forget to have some fun on Sankirta. It's not this, you know, we have to do our austerity today. I mean, who calm is going to take a book from somebody like this? Just imagine, you meet someone in a studio, he goes, I am fulfilling the mission of my spiritual master here, and on behalf of the Guru Parampara, here you have a book. And I mean, you have to understand, Krishna consciousness is very important. Of course, in the beginning, it tastes bitter. But later on, it's sweet, I heard. So, this, people don't believe this. They will say, yeah, yeah, bitter, yeah, 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 sure, I will make it more bitter for you. Yeah. So that level doesn't work on Sunday. It's very difficult. It's not possible. Of course, even if we are on that level, we have to do our duty and keep on going. But you know, Krishna is extremely merciful. He thinks, oh no, he is my devotee taking the bitter medicine. I have to make it more sweet for him. And then while we are doing this, sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we have to play a Sankirtan devotee. You know, we don't feel like a Sankirtan devotee really that particular day, but we have to play. And it's good, because it's you know, it's, why should we surrender to the bodily identification, the bodily depression? No, I want to be a blissful devotee. So we are going, every day I am blissful. I am going to be very blissful today. And I don't mind the rain. And I don't mind I didn't distinguish anything for 3 hours. I'm going to be blissful. However, this in the beginning it may not work, but by just doing, Krishna is there. And he will see, oh, he's trying so hard. Okay, then we will send somebody who takes 5 books at once. And suddenly, the matchsticks are not needed anymore so much. And then after some time, you completely forget about it. You forget actually you are miserable with it. So, Sankirtan is like a thermometer. You can always control your fever, you know, immediately. The question is, do you like it or not? Because if you don't like it, you want to cheat yourself. Oh, I'm a pure Vaishnava, it's too impure for me, this dirty street. Then, yeah, okay, then you can assume some identification and, you know, and play the game to the end of your life, maybe. But if you want to have the map set down, and you, the little soul, surrendering to Krishna and accepting him as the absolute authority, fully depending on him, Sankirtan is a very good place to do this. One becomes very light, very happy, one realizes there's no need to go into Buddha with this emotion. No need to depend on this. And while we are getting purified, we are purifying others. This is within Krishna consciousness. Like yesterday we had the story about that one girl. She's sitting here right now. She knows. She was doing the holy nursing. Very expert, distributing and crying simultaneously. You know they know how to do this. Females and the air. They were so innocent, you know. Doing nothing the whole day. I mean, even a man starts to cry if he doesn't do anything all day. People just say, you need somebody like this on the street, you know. Krishna! Such an exotic experience. You know? But then suddenly somebody holding a book, she was and that boy took a book and he became actually a very nice devotee. Yeah. He told me that he was really proud to see this lady. But he was a special person because he was really interested in the book. He said, oh, Bhagavad Gita. Such a people are rare, of course. Yeah, it's not recommendable to distribute in this kind of shape. Better you go somewhere else and check it out. So we need to keep on going. So I have to always be positive. I mean, there's always a reason. Even we wouldn't distribute anything the whole day, which I don't think ever happens to anybody. It's impossible to do nothing the whole day. you know. But even we wouldn't do it, if this would happen to us, still people see, ah, here's Hare Krishna again doing something here. We hate them. We don't like them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, yeah, they are there, and we are there. And, you know. Going through such a test is very purifying. Therefore, when the Sangeetam part is generally on the travel, we don't have so much trouble with these false egos and discussions and even philosophical controversies. It's not, it's usually a very harmonious atmosphere because everybody is there having Maya that close to him. Therefore, it's important devotees are happy. Prabhupada used to ask devotees, are you happy? It's a very important question. So without being happy in Krishna consciousness, how can we preach to others finally? We can preach something. But if the doctors are sick, you know, even a sick doctor, he can help something. But if he comes, you know, in an operation room, you know, and he has leprosy and he wants to operate, very good. People will not be very inspired to take a treatment from a doctor like that. So, therefore, it's our duty to become happy. We have to. And Sangeetani boys, every temple president can tell you the same thing. It's the most easy crew to manage. Everything else is not so easy. Not so easy. Sangeetani boys, they are the whole week out. You know. They are the most productive people. They come in at Sunday back, they go, Hariba! Sunday beast! You know. They are just every kirtan and they evolve the maha. You know. And then they go again. It's the most simple way to manage. You ask them, do you need some new dhoti? Or something like that? No, new dhoti. I have 5 months, 3 years, it's okay. No problem. Because they are the ones who just, even they may have some materials, they have no time to act upon them. There's no time. It's like, you know, Haridas Thakur being bothered by the prostitute. He said, surely I will join you. Surely I would like to, but I have to finish my rounds. And he was never ready. So he was always Hare Krishna. And she was always waiting. What is he going to be? He said, I don't mind. It's no problem, but I have to finish my rounds. So Sangha Dhanibodhi, they have this, you know, we would like to enjoy it too, but it's not time because they have to pack the car and wash the laundry and then we have to go out and just do it again. And this all depends on your consciousness. Some of us treat it like this. Depends on your consciousness. If you have a strong consciousness, then all these strange elements, they all disappear. You just look on some atheist and you go, you know, and you run from another seat of the sun. Consciousness is very important because, like, you know, you may even go in a street, you even say anything. You go in a street, people go, hello, hello, hello. And if you have the same body, but a different consciousness, another day, just by seeing you, they go on the other side of the street. They go, So if you see this big book distributors, I never was one really there, but I know my name, I'm cool. Why they are distributing the books to consciousness? They will attract you the most incredible people from to the same parking lot. They will come like from all from holes, they will crawl out. You think, how the heck you got that guy? You know? And devotees, you can see practically, like we have in Sweden, Mandi Vodi Ashadula, he used to be in the army. So he's always attracting periodically just old, you know, generals and this kind of things, you know, this older people, like, you know, this, you know, yes! Because he's distributing like this. You know, people meet him and they go, what an honest person, you know, what a serious. And he goes, he has no jokes, nothing. It's a completely different, you know, he goes, this is an important book, you know, and you should take it. It's very important. Yeah, you should fulfill the mission of life, you know, and they go, yes! this can be all utilized. There's no need to hear him changing his way of distribution. It's a wonderful Mahasangha, and he says he ever is doing something else. There are devotees which are more jokey, you know, like that, and they are more funny. And there are devotees which are more serious, and there are devotees which are more heavy. And there are devotees which are very romantic, you know, and this. And this can be. This one cannot change artificially. This can go all along with Sangha. This is okay. The major thing is the motivation.
No Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with some local management, but the fact is that Prabhupada always said that there was already the idea that one day there will be not possible to distribute any books. Generally, Prabhupada said, well, who comes with such an idea? Prabhupada was actually very upset to hear such a thing. But there would be a time where we will not be able to distribute books anymore, or there would be just, you know, for economical or political reasons. It's not true at all. You can always distribute books, but of course, you know, I can speak now from the other side, because I am now since some years also tenure president. I see it from the other side too. So there are economical burdens, but maybe I should be careful while setting up a temple. You know, if you go over your head and you don't do it proportionally to the Sankirtan, of course, then there will be too much expense and too little money coming in, and then you are forcing the Sankirtanis to go in paraphernalia. And without exception, whoever goes in paraphernalia long term will be frustrated. And the amazing thing is the debts will come even more. There will be even more debts. It's mysterious, you know. As much paraphernalia as much debts are coming. It's a strange thing. Because you are spending more and more. Because if the money comes in, you're spending more. So book distribution forced, naturally, generally, the temple to be very, very careful with the economy. And that's good. It's good. You have to keep it really short with the economy. Therefore, the temple president must be a Sankirtan devotee at heart. He maybe doesn't go out all day, but he must have a full understanding of the activities. Otherwise, he's in trouble. Then you got the classical things going on, your Sankirtan losing faith in the temple president, they will make some little revolution and this kind of things. You know, it happens all over the place. So this is unnecessary. There should be a very mutual understanding of what we are going to do, and also the temple authorities should have a, you know, the service attitude. The temple president is nothing but the servant of the Sankirtan. And the Sankirtan is there serving the temple by preaching for it and by, you know, bringing the economic support. It should be so harmonious that actually the Brahmacharis, generally in Sankirtan, as he knows, Brahmacharis, they shouldn't bother with the money at all. They should be so confident that things are set up, they shouldn't bother with the money. Because Brahmacharis, as soon as they start to get worried, I heard in some places they start to open their own bank accounts just to make sure that the money goes in the right direction. This is the end of Brahmacharis. Then you start to go loaded with this money and that money and this and this and that. And then you kind of fix on Sankirtan and distribution. Sankirtan requires an extremely simple consciousness. Mm. You have to. Otherwise you get entangled with this, all these things. And how can you focus on this process of good distribution? Therefore Sankirtan should get all the support, so they have no reason to be distracted by anything. And they should be inspired and they should know. They should be informed also. If they want to know, they should be informed. Now we are preaching like this, and now this is going on. They should take pleasure in how the temple is expanding, how new bhaktas are coming in. They should become part of the whole. They are the most important part. So this is also quite important, that how Sankirtan fits into the temple atmosphere. They don't feel excluded, they don't feel disappointed or something like that. There should be a very, very good understanding of that. I'm quite lucky, you know, I'm a lucky person, because I'm coming from a part of the world where this is very prominent. I don't know anything about the world, but I don't know. I've never went out of Germany or Malaysia, but I was experiencing times where this was not so harmonious, a bit touchy. And Sankirtan devotees get frustrated sometimes when they don't feel very inspired. But I would say lately, I mean in the last years, it's wonderful. Wonderful. Such a thing is there.
The Sangatan feels like our temple president is actually a Sangatan. I don't even know where. I think it's an example of Norway. Because there is Moyata. Everybody is from traveling all the time practically. Just the temple president with the wives in the temple. It's the temple.
Yes.
He's making radio broadcasting and Sunday feast and everything. It's, you know, it's a big show. And sometimes they still think, what is he doing in that temple? You know, Sangatan sometimes they go, he is getting a bigger belly, you know. He's eating too much mahara. This temple, they are enjoying themselves. Then he goes out in Christmas Marathon, Prabhupada Marathon, he goes out. And he's doing practically in 1 month so many books like they do whole year. They're only leveling everybody down just. Then he goes back, yeah, quite. Can you say anything? There can be even some competition like that, you know. Good.
In America, sometimes devotees have an idea that devotees can only do sankirtan for 10 years maximum.
Maybe physically true, but not spiritually. He said the point that sometimes there's the idea that sankirtan devotee can do only 10 years sankirtan and he has to stop. Well, maybe it happens in a physical sense, yes, but not spiritually. He should never give up the attitude. And he should never stop Sangatan completely. What's the use? Maybe he has to adjust something. He cannot be any more this fleshy traveling Sangatan hero. That he cannot do, but he can do Sangatan in other ways too. He should never lose the mood. Why? And there are ways, maybe even we face few years where we have to go down and physically we cannot take, but then we can come up again. We can come up again. And then meanwhile, we cannot go full time on Sangatan, we can support Sangatan and help devotees as much as we can. Devotees will be very thankful for that. Once I still a question, I had this problem. At a certain point, I couldn't laugh. I was saying, so now, I left the army, okay. You know, run away from army. This is a German style. I had a problem on this, and I asked Hare Krishna Swami, and I asked him, I mean, I cannot even talk about something, I don't do this right now. He said, they know very well if you want to go out or not. Sangatan devotees are very sensitive to that. They know if you're just talking, or if you really are ready to, if you really want to go out. He says, devotees are very sensitive to this kind of stuff. They discover very soon that he's just talking. All these kijayas and the Sangitan kijayas, what do you do? And they know very well. And there's no devotees which are going to go well, he doesn't go out because he's sick. So, devotees of compassion, they know. So there's no reason to get frustrated. So it's like after 10 years ago, okay, that was it, you know. And now, economic development, and after the Hama Kama Moksha, now comes the family and everything. It means, no, you can keep on going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you shout, really. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but there's something you shouldn't figure out. There's something you should manage with your local BBT, you know, to check out for what kind of price you can give the books out. But then, that is life. Say that if you'd like anybody else, maybe you will not have 900 books a day. That's okay. So what? Just imagine how people appreciate a book they bought for one-tenth of their monthly income. Just imagine, because in dollars, I don't know how much people make in dollars.
It depends. That's a good chunk of change.
$10,000? People make $10,000 a month?
Like $500 would probably be more.
$500 for one book? Pretty proud. I mean, he doesn't throw his book away, that's for sure. You know? So he's really valuing it a lot. If this is the only way to do it, sure. Therefore, I tell you quite frankly, this is wonderful to read these results, but they don't show all the way through what is behind it. They don't. Because like you have your 10 books a day, you make a federal million. I think in Russia it's a problem. It's a problem because they have to make now higher BBT price, otherwise the boys are getting too rich. They figure out one household can maintain the whole family by selling 5 gitas a week. You know? Having books in Russia, you know, in the West you just pass it out, but in Russia to have a book and sell a book, it's like you become a millionaire like this. Just imagine a whole book lager, they have to have some, you know, special security system on this.